This is Fresh Air. Why didn't German physicists develop the atom bomb during World War II? My guest, Tom Powers, is the author of a new book about the secret history of the German bomb. Powers is best known for his 1979 book, The Man Who Kept the Secrets, Richard Helms and the CIA. Powers' new book is called Heisenberg's War. Werner Heisenberg was the physicist who headed the German bomb project. The Allies feared Heisenberg was brilliant enough to succeed. American intelligence developed a plan to kidnap or assassinate him. The plan was dropped after a couple of years. Physicists in America have long debated whether Heisenberg bungled the bomb project or intentionally slowed it down to prevent Hitler from getting his own atom bomb. After 5 years of research, Powers concludes that Heisenberg sabotaged the bomb project. Although Heisenberg never quite said that, Powers says there were unmistakable signs that something was going on.
Heisenberg definitely told officials that the job was too big, and he convinced them, and they dropped the program. So why did Heisenberg do this? Well, it could be for the reason that he said. He thought it was too big, and that was that. But there are some other telltale signs. Heisenberg was in touch with people who were in touch with Allied intelligence authorities. And a friend of his sent a message to the United States in 1941 saying, among other things, Heisenberg himself tries to delay the work as much as possible. 1941. You know, it seems very clear to me, when you put all these things together, that Heisenberg deliberately took advantage of his authority and his prestige to kill that program.
What did he do to sabotage the program?
Well, you know, when you're thinking about embarking upon a gigantic program of scientific innovation, you can't just decide to go ahead and build it. You know, the military would love to build an anti-gravity machine. You can't just decide to build an anti-gravity machine. You got to ask scientists if this is possible and feasible. So the German authorities, who were very interested in building a bomb from the first day of the war, went and asked a German scientist if they could do it. And these questions came to a kind of a climax at a meeting in Berlin in June of 1942. That was, purely by chance, the very month in which the United States bomb program really got seriously going. And Albert Speer, who was the German minister of munitions and a kind of a economics czar, and a man who had the power to really put the whole weight of the country behind a bomb program, went to hear the scientists, especially Heisenberg, tell them whether or not it was possible to build a bomb. And Speer has left a quite vivid account of this encounter with Heisenberg, and at every turn in that meeting, Heisenberg just said, "It's too hard, it's too big, it's too uncertain, it's too expensive, we don't know when we'll succeed." He gave very discouraging advice indeed. In fact, at one point, Speer asked him if Heisenberg could guarantee that the experiments would not lead to the incineration of the planet. Now, that's a serious concern. And Heisenberg said to him, "Well, you know, we just can't promise. It could happen." So this was very discouraging to Speer in every way. And the program was reduced to a kind of a small, low-level research effort, largely to develop a reactor. They could have gone the other way, you know. These scientists could have done what the scientists in the United States did. They could have said, "This is potentially the most powerful and influential weapon of the war. We've got to go throw everything into it. There's a good chance we can succeed in time to use it before the war is over. Let's go for it." And in that case, I'm sure that Speer would have said, okay, because what else could he say?
But what makes you think that Heisenberg didn't truly believe that it was going to be too expensive, too difficult, too dangerous to build the bomb?
Well, think about it for a minute. How could he know? He doesn't know how to build a bomb. Nobody knew how to build a bomb in the beginning. The question is, do you want to or do you not want to? It's going to be difficult for sure, but there's no absolute answer to the question, too big or too difficult. The German state had the capacity to put real resources behind programs that it was interested in. You remember they built rockets that rained down on England at the end of the war, and these rockets were completely useless as military weapons without a big bomb on the end of them, which they didn't have. So they could have pressed the government to go forward very easily, but didn't.
After the war, several German scientists, including Heisenberg, were held captive. in a country house known as Farm Hall, held captive by the Allies. And as they were held captive there, there was not much to do, you say, except to talk, and their conversations were recorded secretly by hidden microphones. Did you get access to those recordings?
These recordings were transcribed at the time and probably made a tremendous record of some sort. They're very interesting because they have extended sections of conversation among 10 German scientists who did not really know that they were being listened in on, for sure. And on the night of August 6th, for example, 1945, they learned about Hiroshima and realized that a bomb had been built, and this came to them as a tremendous shock. And they all began talking feverishly about it. These transcripts read, in some sense, almost like a play. You've got this very intense intellectual engagement with what happened and many different personal reactions. There were many small details there of very great interest to somebody who's really obsessed with what happened, and I have to confess that for a while I became really obsessed with what happened.
So what details in the transcripts support your theory that Heisenberg intentionally sabotaged the bomb program?
The shock on the part of the Germans that the Americans not only had done it, but had used it, they were deeply surprised by this. They never protested or made any kind of a claim that the Allied scientists shouldn't have done it, but they were shocked. And Heisenberg and a couple of his friends, in particular Carl Friedrich von Weizsäcker and Otto Hahn, both talked at length and were overheard by these British intelligence officers talking about how they felt about it. And they were really sick at the idea of having built a bomb. Otto Hahn at one point said to a friend there that he got down on his bended knee to thank God that he had not built a bomb. This was a terribly distressing thing to him. He had been an inventor of fission, and the idea that his invention had killed scores of thousands of people in Japan was very painful to him. And there are a lot of conversations of that kind that I think make it abundantly clear that these scientists totally lacked the passionate zeal required to successfully launch and carry out a bomb program.
My guest is Thomas Powers, author of the new book Heisenberg's War, The Secret History of the German Bomb. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tom Powers. What kind of reaction have you gotten from physicists to your interpretation that Heisenberg intentionally sabotaged the German bomb?
When we're talking about the physicists who actually were active in the 20s and 30s and knew Heisenberg and were involved in this period, they're interested by many things that I discovered, sometimes fascinated. Many things became clear to them that they had never understood because they would only know one part of the story and then I would tell them some other part that they'd never known about. But I have to tell you, they have a lingering suspicion and visceral dislike, resentment of Heisenberg for having stayed in Germany, even though it seems increasingly likely to them, I think, that Heisenberg clearly did not try to build a bomb and in fact was responsible for kind of running the program into a closet. Nevertheless, this guy stayed in Germany, and many of them lost members of their families during the Holocaust, and they just don't want to forgive him 100%.
Have you found a moral in this story?
Well, I found a couple of morals. I don't know if anybody else finds them. The first moral is, think twice, think three times before deciding that you want to assassinate somebody as a matter of policy. It's very, very difficult to know, really, who your enemies are. That's one clear lesson. We tried to kill a man who I think, you know, did us a very great favor indeed. And another lesson to be gained from this, I think, is an important one about science itself. You know, scientists have received much of the blame for bringing us into the nuclear age. For 50 years, we've been living under a cloud of danger, and people don't like it. And they're fearful of these nuclear weapons, and they blame the scientists for being tinkerers who just went ahead and built these terrible weapons of mass destruction because governments asked them to, just as if these scientists had no sense of moral responsibility. But if you look at what Heisenberg really did, I don't see any way to interpret his actions and behavior except by saying that he had a sense of moral responsibility. And when you see that clearly, you begin to reinterpret what some other scientists did in the early days of nuclear invention. You know, J. Robert Oppenheimer, who was the technical director at Los Alamos, when he hadn't worked very hard to build an atomic bomb. But by the time the government asked him to build a hydrogen bomb, he had completely turned around, and he had begun to sound a lot like Heisenberg. And one of the leading Russian physicists who was asked to build a bomb in Russia, Peter Kapitsa, he resigned in 1946. He sent a letter to Stalin and said, "I don't want to work on this program any longer." And he quit. It's interesting that all of these guys insisted that they were never politically or morally opposed to building these terrible weapons. But what they actually did was try and find ways to get out of it and not to do it.
Sounds like you're criticizing the scientists in America who did work on the bomb.
No, I don't mean to criticize them for that. This was a complex situation and a very dangerous one, and Heisenberg always recognized that the scientists among the Allies were in a completely different situation. They were facing Hitler. I mean, the Allies wanted to build a bomb because they were afraid of Hitler. And Heisenberg, I think, didn't want to build a bomb because he was afraid of Hitler. They shared those basic values. Having thought about nuclear weapons now for a dozen years and spent a lot of time looking into it, I would have to say that I do not have any sense of anger or resentment at the scientists who went ahead and built these things. In fact, I think an argument can be made that not only did they invent them, but they invented our ways of thinking about them. Not only did they give us these weapons, but they gave us principles of international cooperation, which have eventually led to the reduction of their danger.
You've been writing about the CIA since the 1970s. The CIA is in transition now. There's a new director, James Woolsey. The CIA is in the post-Cold War era. How do you think the CIA needs to redefine itself?
Well, I think it needs to be a smaller agency. The Cold War has come to an end, and the giant military establishment that was built to fight the Cold War is in the state of being reduced and shrunk down to size, and I think that should happen to the CIA as well. But there are still a lot of important things for the CIA to do. One thing, for example, is that there are numerous nuclear weapons in the Soviet Union that could easily slip out of state control and fall into the wrong hands. And that is a kind of a problem that would require a lot of intelligence manpower. And the CIA could do work of that kind, which would be useful and important. There have been suggestions that the CIA would be a great handmaiden to American business. This, I believe, is a disastrous proposal. The idea that we're going to turn the black arts of the CIA loose in the world in order to make it safe for American business and give American entrepreneurs an edge in international competition, boy, this strikes me as a terrible idea. We don't actually conduct our economic life on the planet at that level of animosity and limitless competition, and we shouldn't start. So I would hope that the CIA would not be used by the administration to go off on crack-brained schemes to help American business.
Don't the people who support industrial espionage say that other countries are already engaged in it against us?
Yeah, they do say that. And that's a good reason for trying to stop them from doing it. Other people are engaged in the drug trade. That isn't a reason for getting into it. That's a reason for trying to stop them. So if there are examples of industrial espionage, and of course there are, I think we should try and bring it under control and limit it, and that is a useful job for intelligence.
A question I've been wanting to ask you for a while. It seems to me it's hard to publish a book about the CIA without getting you to write a blurb for it. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
And I wonder if you ever feel put upon, because I'm sure every time a book about the CIA comes out, it gets shipped off to you in galleys, and the publisher asks you to write a blurb for it.
Terry, it's very hard to write a book. It takes a long time, and for the most part, it's a poorly paid endeavor. When some guy who has gone to all the trouble to write a book about the CIA asked me to say something about it for a blurb, I generally say, okay, I want to help the guy. And what I do is I read the book, and I find the best thing in it I can say about it. And I say that as a general rule. Now, I don't mean to say that I give a blurb to everybody who asks, because I don't. But I'm friendly to the idea. You know, it's tough out there, and you're pretty much alone, and I'd like to help them. Other people have helped me.
Well, obviously, you've learned a lot about how to get secret information. Do you think you'd make a good spy?
Well, no, and I'll tell you why. I take forever. Spies need to find out stuff in a hurry.
Right. They don't have 5 years, huh?
They don't have 5 weeks as a rule. You know, somebody wants to know, they want to know right away. And I used to work as a journalist, and I enjoyed that. You know, it's really fun to be a young man and run around New York and be a journalist. But I discovered after a while that I had a taste for sort of getting deeper into the story. You know, I wanted to know what was really going on here. And it's gotten worse.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Thomas Powers is the author of the new book, Heisenberg's War, The Secret History of the German Bomb. This is Fresh Air.